The Trash Torch Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash It Demolition Derby, Fort Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon. Whoop, got a little bit early. Hey, welcome to...
Story of Your Life.
Yeah. Oh, you're funny.
Yes, I am.
That's Brian Tompkins, in case anybody was wondering. There's a good look at Brian. Josh Deckard also joining us here in studio. We got some fan mail. Then we got to open the first package that Josh is holding on his lap. It is from John Peck. The other one that that Brian has, Brian's holding on to some stuff from the folks over at Crash and Bash. But before we get going, I just want to send out some well wishes. First, got to wish a quick get well to Dan O'Connell, who he is still, I believe he's still on a feeding tube and still on, he's off the respirator, still a little in and out of it. He had some problems with some food getting lodged in his esophagus, and then they had to sew the hole back shut. Whoa. Basically, some pretty serious stuff going on for him. Also, well wishes and keep the support coming for Bobby Joe. Mike Riddle's wife is in Pittsburgh now. Things are looking up for her. She basically had a massive heart attack, and her heart basically came apart in her chest. She's been transported to Pittsburgh. There's been a lot of well wishes and everything that he's gone to Mike and his family as they commute back and forth from Fredonia to Pittsburgh. He had a couple minutes alone with his wife. She's obviously pretty sedated, but the doctors are very, very optimistic that she's going to pull through it. It's going to be a long road. They've got a lot of they got a lot of hills to clear in the interim. But keep those well wishes coming to Mikey Riddle and his family out there in the Dunkirk area. She's fighting a little bit of a little bit of pneumonia. Eric Remington is doing some good things for that family. If you can get in touch with Eric through Facebook, he's taking up a small collection. They're going to turn that into Visa gift cards, fuel cards, and grocery cards, so that those guys can even if it's a little bit of something, it's better than nothing to help out Mike Riddle as he goes through this with his lovely wife Bobby Joe with Bobby. Tough deal for them, but obviously the community once again is banding together and rallying around them.
Definitely, that's a tough thing. We wish you luck.
She's 39 years old. Real young to be going through this, but everybody's rallying around them, and we're certainly thinking of the family.
It was crazy too. Last week I got on Facebook at lunch one day at work. I'm flipping down through, and there's a picture of my wife's cousin. 37 years old. He has a son that's in my son's grade. He had a cut on his finger that wasn't healing. So then he had a cold that he couldn't shake. So he went to the emergency room, rushed him to Rochester, and he's diagnosed with leukemia.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Month chemo to start with, and then go from there.
Right out of the blocks with that. Jeez.
37 years old.
Jeez. Hate to start things out of somber note.
Again, everybody kiss your family, tell them you love them. Be, don't sweat the small stuff. Be happy, and you have your health, and... Now on with the show, Chris Marquardt.
Yes, we have a really good show. We've got the pleasure of having Josh in studio because his man crush is going to be on, Jared Lazenby. Going to be joining us here in a few minutes. We'll be talking with Jared out in Utah. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking with John Peck a little bit later on and talking about all sorts of different stuff. I know there's a ton of stuff that we still need to get to. First things first, I just want everybody to know about this right here. Chris Lancaster shirts are now available on the shop.smashedempire page. I wanted you to have a look at those. They've been Chris and Jill have been trying to push these things and let everybody know they are available, and they're going to be shipped out in probably about a week or so. They are right alongside the other available team shirts, which include one Josh Decker.
Yes.
But yes. I'm gonna
just a one man team, pretty much.
pull up the screen grab.
You should put a big boo across the back or something.
Yes, a big boo. That's what we want. We want to do that for you, Josh.
It'll make you feel better.
There's the Minnesota style shirts, Chris Lancaster stuff. There's a good look at his. Jump on there, check those things out. Those were some of the first shirts that we actually had the opportunity to design for them. They've got the Cadillac on there with the red, white, and blue colors. We'll
Hammer and Hoosiers also up there?
Yep, I'm going to pull those up here
Gotta
in just a
have
second.
That. I mean, everyone should add that one to their collection because there's not a better nickname than the Hammer.
Not a better dude either. Bobby's definitely a great dude.
This one is in the works. It's not out quite yet, but this one is in the works, and this one's available for pre-order. There's a good look at the Bobby Brockway shirt with the nosed-up forward, underbuilt, the Hammer and Hoosier. And,
that's an awesome shirt. Dude, I love that nickname. For some reason, it's just such a perfect Derby.
Jesse Kunkel.
You know, is it Derby? I don't know.
Jesse Kunkel's going to be taking delivery of the Mad Russian shirts, and his shirts are available
those
for pre-order.
Those look awesome. Do you got a picture of
those? No, I don't have a picture of those. Those aren't up there. But also, Mike Martini is going to be getting his shirts. Both those are going to be delivered May 9th at the Superstock show with Bo Lockwood.
Your graphic design guy really does a nice job, Chris.
I don't know. I hear he's really slow.
The poor dude has got a lot of
there's
stuff the, on his plate, man.
There's the
he's,
Josh Decker know. Shirts right there.
Come on, Chrysler wagon and a shocker? Got to.
Isn't that Dan Godfrey's wagon?
No, that's my wagon.
No, that's just checking.
Who's Dan Godfrey?
Didn't I hear this argument, though, the other night
exactly.
at the party?
He's old. He's senile. What,
I don't know. You tell me if you see any similarities. Here, I'll pull up the
No, don't. Picture. Don't.
No. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It was just picking on Decker. It was hilarious to hear those two going at it.
But this is the one that I can't wait to get back. This one's still a little ways off, but it's gained some momentum. There it is. The new Smashed Empire film shirt with the Imperial. Nose is out, ready to go. If you're looking for some information, there it is. Reckless Abandon coming through with all of those designs you've seen. Also, there's the non-customized stuff as well that's available. The official apparel of the Crash Course, shop.smashedempire.com. Wanted to get that out there. So
can I throw something out there?
If you, think how proud, only if it's positive.
Think about how proud Ricky would be. He's in the old school Kings of Old School. He's in your stuff. There's so much stuff that Rick is in. You know he's got to be up there smiling because that's all he ever wanted.
Well, Carol,
was just to be out there.
I talked with Carol Finch, his sister, yesterday. Actually, you want to see the signs?
Yeah.
The stuff that are out there. I was horsing around doing some logos for a couple guys that wanted signs with all of the Smashed Empire stuff on them. And I got wondering what Rick's would look like, basically. And I just conceptualized one and drew one up. And a couple guys were asking about it, so you can get him his decals and things like that. Portions of the full-size sign, the two-sided sign, the one-sided sign, the mini sign, and all that stuff. All proceeds of that are going to go to the trust fund for the kids. I'm having trouble getting the page to load now. I keep looking at the clock like we're missing. We got to get Jared on the phone.
Let's be.
Where is it? Come on. Internet didn't want to load there for a second. Let's see.
Yeah, no, that sign was pretty.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We got two versions of it. There is the white one, or excuse me, the yellow one, which everybody was really excited about. And then we've got the purple one, which is the one that a lot of other people have seen, too. Those are available as truck signs, truck decals.
Okay, one's almost become like a team.
I know.
That has almost become like, if you got one of them, you're badass. And the guys that got them know. And then the one, and Ricky would have one of them. And then
absolutely.
The yellow one.
And it'd be purple.
Yeah.
I know you want the yellow one, but.
No, I like that. But the yellow one is, but that is so Rick, too, just the yellow.
The
one.
Yellow, I know, right?
We have those two stickers. Are they going to be made into stickers also?
They're going to be made as a, they're available as a 3x4 sticker. They're available They're available as a 6x4.5 sticker, which is more of a bumper sticker size. And they're available as a half-size roof sign, so it's like 9x12. And they're available as a full-size roof sign that's one-sided, so you can hang it on the wall. And it's available as a two-sided roof sign. And you know, the portions of no matter what sells, I talked to Carol, they have a PayPal account set up, so that basically as soon as you pay for it, I can take and flip that money back over to them. It's going to happen right away. So that's there's no question about whether that is or isn't going to happen.
We got to keep that up because
remember. It's up there. I mean, it's going to be up there forever. I talked to the sign shop is down with it. They said they'll hang on to them and they're just going to print them as needed.
So I'm talking with, I'm going to get a brain fart, the announcer at Walton.
Jay Tweedy.
Sorry, Jay. I'm talking with Jay Tweedy at the Derby banquet.
Yeah.
And Hippie was standing there and we're all shooting the breeze. And we said something. And Hippie pulled out his plastic card from Rick's funeral that he always carries. Said, everywhere I go, I have this with me. Jay goes, I got my stack. He goes, it was the only thing left after the fire. And I said, what do you mean? His truck burned up the entire.
Yeah, there's a picture of this.
There's the entire front of the truck. I mean, gone.
No, I seen it. The truck was gone.
And he said he started digging through, and what's he find? But his stack of plastic encased cards. And the edges were a little scorched, but to be in a fire that burns up the cab of a truck and that's still there. So yeah, that's one of those cool things you're like, all right, I like when stuff like that happens.
Josh doesn't believe in that stuff, so.
I don't usually, but then, like, sometimes I do. Is Ricky screwing with me? Because every time I touch his stuff in my garage, it breaks. I swear to God, like, yesterday I pulled out his tires, and they all went flat. They were on a car, and I back them up, and they start going flat, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
Did you ever give that tire back to the kid you stole, like, 4 years ago that was?
Brad Davis. No, you didn't want the one back. Please, Brian.
Would you like to welcome?
Lazenby. What's up, dude?
What's going on, buddy?
Not a lot. Enjoying this 70 degree weather we got here.
Screw you.
It was
outside today.
It was 44 today in New York, so I mean, you know, Josh is running around in his thong working on the tan already.
It was summer.
That got weird, didn't it?
What are you working on?
I don't want to tell you. You won't like it.
A Vic.
Gonna be a Vic.
Get it out of there.
I got to try one more. I'm putting a box body on an 03 frame and going to try it. Just at an 80s show.
Now, after all these nasty Mopars we watched come out of your shop, you're pulling. Are you maybe working on the Fords outside so it doesn't, you know, pollute the Ford shop or the Mopar shop? I mean,
I'm going to build my fair Mopars this year, too. So
that's what we like to hear.
You know, everyone busts my balls about man crushing Lazenby. But let me throw out there, Lazenby, if I can set the record straight. The reason that Lazenby is the man is because on that show, when he was running Mopars with big blocks in them, and everyone remembers the episode, it had a big block with a cracked block leaking water.
Head.
That's New York style.
Absolutely.
Because that son of a bitch went out there and won a heat and feature with a junk block. That is old school New York demolition derby to me. And, like, I loved that those
absolutely.
Mopars winning out there. Because let's be honest, everyone says Mopar sucks, but this show comes out and Lazenby was kicking ass.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely it's just a whole different outlook. I mean, now you're slowly seeing quite a few more guys each year, you know, up and get a different drivetrain. And, I mean, it used to be that's all anybody ran was Mopars around here.
Right.
Blocks.
Dan right. Bolton runs big blocks.
Yeah.
Run forever. I mean,
yep.
They'll run with the small block Chevys and stuff like that here because, I mean, you're only going 20 minutes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. 20 minutes, everything's junk, let's go home.
Paul Cox, what?
20 minutes is long here. I mean, if you're 20 minutes and it's probably you and your buddies and you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
It's quite a long heat.
That's awesome.
Do you, Josh? You know what?
Yeah, I've been in long heats when you're with your buddies. You don't want to. You actually slow your pace down.
What friends have you derbied with?
Well, I've watched it on TV. You're right. I don't have any friends.
What are you playing online?
That's funny. So Laz, when you're running these Chevy, when you're running these Vics now, are you putting Chevys in them or are you putting Mopar motors in them?
Yeah, well, I had that show last year, that Kings of Destruction. I promoted that show in Twill last year, and first place I offered up either a brand new fresh Baldwin 355 and $1,000 or $6,000. And the winner, Clay Stewart, he's a Chrysler guy, so he wasn't going to switch over, so I ended up with the motor. So that's just for Crown Vic.
And was it that Baldwin wasn't going to build a Mopar for $6,000?
No way.
I've done that before. I won the Mad Dog motor at Cheyenne, I think it was like 06 or something. And the first time I ran it, I put it in a Doba for an 80 show and I blew it up.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
That's a bull part of God telling me not to do it again.
Exactly. Exactly. That's awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome.
So when does the derby season start out there, Laz? When's your first run?
What's that?
When does the derby season start out there? When's your first run this year?
Let's see. They're having some kind of mini derby down south, kind of a first-time deal, but everything starts off with Sternberg's May Mania.
Cool.
Up Ogden, I think it's $10,000 to win this year. They're throwing quite a bit of money at it, and then you got one way or another, I'll be out to Ohio the next weekend for the Bash. So
nice.
We've already got our tickets for that, so we're gonna come out there.
We'll see you out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to come back to that topic.
I got a derby the second weekend in June, and then I promote the derby the third weekend in June. So then after that, I'm just going to hit it as hard as I can.
So how are you liking the promoting game?
I told the wife I was going to do one more year hard, and then I was going to retire. So she's buying it right now, so I got to take advantage of it.
Hey, Josh Decker's on that same line. He's going to hit it hard one more year and then retire.
I've been
Josh?
Saying that for 7 years. So that's about my last year. That's about my last year.
Didn't you say you wanted to go to Utah and show them guys how to run hard, though?
Okay, I didn't say that. I do want to run in Utah. Show them how to run hard? I don't know. I talked to Bandow about it, and Bandow, you know, Bandow's not scared of shit.
No.
He even said that you start going around that track when they count down how they do the oval around there. He was intimidated, you know, and we know that guy don't get scared.
No.
And I think I would be, I would do it, but God, you know, you'd be shaking. Like,
yeah.
Guys are hitting you at 50, you know? And lastly, I don't wear sunglasses anymore. I wore sunglasses always when I derbied. Ever since that, when you hit your face off the, I stopped wearing sunglasses just because of that, because I can see the danger in that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I kind of blame that on the lack of sleep for, you know, trying to build 8 cars in 8 weeks. So I don't know what the hell I was thinking when that happened, but yeah, I won't wear sunglasses again either. I actually still got them same glasses hanging up in my shop as a memento to remind me to grab my goggles before I leave.
Eight cars in 8 weeks is insane. Think about that. One a week? That's impossible. I mean, really, that's kind of impossible. Yeah, that's going to burn you out.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
So let me ask you, after you're on that show, right, you think it was beneficial to your career? Were you happy to be on that when it was all said and done, or do you think it's been a negative towards you in your derby career?
It's neat with the people that I've met. You know, I've met quite a few people. It's definitely, I mean, it's a lot different in Utah. The viewing it was in Utah than it was, like, back east. We went, because my wife's from Ohio, so we went back there, and we walked in, I can't even think, the Wilmington, I think it's called, County Fair, and I had a Lazenby shirt on, and there was people yelling my name in the crowd, and it was just, I mean, we just got bombarded there. I couldn't believe the people that actually knew who I was.
That's badass.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that part of it was cool. It's kind of weird. It was weird the first show here. It was May Mania or something. If you're not driving, you're standing around the top talking to all the drivers, and I'd catch people, like, looking at me while the derby was going on. So it kind of felt like I was naked or something. I had to go out in my truck and put my hoodie on. I'm not used to being the center of attention like that, so I just kind of hid out the rest of the night. But
Josh can give you some coaching on it.
A lot of people know you. I mean, they know everything that was on the show, so they were pretty much by your side a whole season. So,
well, you got to think, like, everybody watching that show, let's be honest, we're all jealous of you, because, like, I would love to be on a goddamn show junking people and people screaming my name. And I mean, that show was badass, and I would love to be on it. It was really cool. I mean, it was cool to be on Facebook the nights that it was on, because everyone was talking about, I mean, I was always picking Lazenby as the winner, which most of them you did win, thankfully. But think about how much talk was going on just in the Northeast about something that was happening way in Utah.
Yeah,
you know,
it was cool.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was going to be like. I mean, they hit it with us, and, you know, I told them right from the get-go that I wasn't going to act like somebody I wasn't. So, and they were a great production company to work with. I mean, they freaking just let us do what we wanted to do. You know, granted, we were kind of if we did another season, it was going to show a lot more of the builds and stuff like that going
right,
on.
Right,
a lot more of the stress part of it, mm-hmm. rather than the drama end of it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I just seen the other day that somebody was talking on there, some lady producer or something got on Facebook, and she was talking about putting a derby show together for, like, Montana and Idaho.
Yeah, I seen
Sounds
that.
Like some White Kings would crash, but as soon as she posted that, man, she put her phone number on there too. I felt bad for her. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh,
they're going to pound her. Yeah, they're definitely going to be all over it.
Bad decision.
No, that's it was pretty cool to have a show on there. I mean, I can't believe it didn't get a second season, only because the following that was behind it was crazy. Look at all the stupid shitty shows are on now. There's no way that show had less following than Martha Stewart's crap.
I'm surprised that it didn't pick up something. Somewhere. A second season on something like Velocity, because you're right, it did have a big following in the Derby community, but you need to look at how big the Derby demographic is compared to the general viewing population. You're comparing that to...
More people are watching Caesar the Dog Trainer than Lazenby Junkie. I doubt it. I mean...
I don't know. Is it?
Well, how about all the idiots? How about how much money the Kardashians are making to look like...
Don't. I get pissed about
trash on TV. I mean...
Scumbags.
I hate that.
Honey Boo Boo, I mean, Honey Boo Boo made multiple seasons.
Look at Honey Boo Boo.
And that's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean you could sit down with your kids and watch Kings of Crash.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it was, you know, normal Derby stuff, normal family stuff. It was awesome to watch.
Definitely.
I mean, we as a whole watched it every week.
You so did my family. My kids loved it.
We got it taped. I was watching it the other night, and we were around, nothing going on, and I went down through and we watched a couple of those.
And watching fresh Mopars rolling in there, man, I love watching fresh Mopars get junk.
Laz, the one question I have to ask you though is, on the one show, after you come down off the lift, you had oil running right out the front of your differential. What I mean, was that one of those, you know, really quick builds you had to do, or did you have trouble with that, or you might not even remember it? But one of the shows it showed you were, I think it was. It was the first one where they were dinging you for having your wheel weights on. I think that was the one. You come down off, and it showed from underneath, and there's oil running out of your rear end.
Yeah, it wasn't. It actually wasn't oil. It was because I run a radiator style tranny cooler with all my Mopars.
Okay.
I have a drain hose that normally we put it through the hole on the right side of the floor.
Yep.
Up against the passenger door right there.
Yep.
But we had one of them get kinked, so now we drill a hole right by it underneath the middle seat belt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, so the water was actually coming out of my cooler and dripping right onto the housing.
Oh, okay.
Because we ran out and fixed it. We did figure out, though, that same car, when we come off the ramp, we had the rear shackle bolt was busted in half, so.
Ugh. Wow.
That ramp saved my butt more than once, but it's also hurt me in there, too.
Laz, let me ask you, I mean, you guys are hitting probably the fastest. The cars are going probably the fastest anywhere in the country where you are. When you start watching derbies like, let's say, Basher Cash or Blizzard Bash, how do you think you compare to those places? Because those places aren't running as hard, aren't hitting as hard. Do you kind of laugh at those and say, like, yeah, those are probably easy to run? Or what is your thought of looking around the country compared to what you guys build?
Okay, well, back up to the fair I went to in Ohio. It was actually a Smash It.
Yep.
One of their derbies. And he, Tim and...
Russ.
Yeah. Took me around and introduced me to a bunch of the drivers, and one of the drivers asked me to drive his car there.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I kept telling him, it was actually Bob Kopach. I kept telling him, you know, no, I'm not going to break your stuff. I know how much time you guys got into this.
Yep.
And he kept insisting, and then somebody said, you're not going to hurt that car. It's a modified Colonel Vic. So as soon as he said that, you know, it turned into kind of a challenge more than anything, but... Awesome. I got to Derby back there, and it was different. I thought it would hurt a lot worse. I mean, JR1, Tony Jenkins from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of year of Vic he had, but I hit him head on, and it ended up ripping the dampener off the front of the car that I was driving.
Impressive.
It didn't even get hurt, but he had probably two full arena track shots there on me sideways, and I thought, I swear to God, if it was in Utah, he'd have put me on my lid.
Right.
But it was just so silky. The ground was just slimy, so the car just slid like 30 feet sideways.
See, that's the thing. I think your guys...
I decided when I, you know, get a little bit older, I'm going to just move there. That way it's a little easier on my body.
That's great.
Well, I think your dirt is different than it is pretty much
sandy.
Anywhere. Yeah, you
sandy.
Guys, it looks like cars just kind of dig into that and roll. And around here, cars slide easier when you get hit that hard. So it's a lot harder to roll cars in our area, I think, than in your guys' area.
Yeah. To hear that, I mean, our number one tracks are rodeo arenas. And, I mean, they'll pretty much just run a set of discs through it. The only reason they put water on it is to keep the dust down for the crowd. So, I mean, and some of them, I mean, they'll get hard packed and they get pretty scary, but.
Would you ever want cars as hard as Basher Cash cars in Utah? Would you ever want to run that hard of a car on that big of a track?
No. And we have a derby like that. Stir Dirt does the Howling Havoc. Mm-hmm. And that thing is just, every year the cars get harder. A good friend of mine, like, won it, I don't know, 3 years in a row now, I think, mm-hmm. Patrick Patello in a caddy.
Mm-hmm.
But that caddy is, it's hard. I mean, I've watched some caddies hit, you know, them hit amps and stuff, and they're not moving. I mean, the guys are actually spending the time to build just a Havoc car every year.
Right.
That's cool. So just keep adding weight to it. Joker came out and ran it, I think it was the year before last, and he ended up running pretty good. I mean, he got down to second or third place, but that caddy won it. But it's definitely, and it's a smaller track. It's a Weber County track.
Yep.
Where the old Halloween Havoc and May Mania was. So, yeah, if you've got one of the Bash cars, like, I mean, any of them guys back there, the EPR, they'd kill somebody here. Because I know the power they're running behind their wheels, you know.
That's what I wonder. It's like, imagine Bobby Brockway tracking somebody, you know. I mean, he could be doing 60 by the time he...
Yeah, with that motor and those gears, it would not be good.
Bobby Whitaker, Luke Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine like the Blizzard Bash guys on that track. Sam, write that down. you know,
Brent Clemens shows up and says, hey, guys.
Booger.
Yeah.
Imagine Booger out there with one of his caddies.
Yeah.
What's that?
We got there's a guy they call Booger from Iowa, I believe.
Iowa, JYD.
And they were, all these, I think there's four cars, and I don't think any of them are under 500
horsepower. What's Jaron Hirschman doing?
They are just nasty.
They got some nasty stuff, hard stuff. But like you say, Jared, now they're running 600 horsepower. You know, like 500 horsepower is like standard procedure in Ohio and, you know, out that way. Things are crazy.
I'm seeing modified motors.
Well, that's why I like seeing him winning in a big block because, you know, it's like I still got big blocks. So, absolutely. Like, I could relate to it more than
that's the thing is, after the show where it showed where you won with that motor that was bad, we came back here and we're like, dude, we've seen our buddies do that. I mean, how many times have you seen Brett be like, yeah, I don't have any water. I got to get this over with quick. We got to make the money.
And that's Demolition Derby. I mean, big blocks running features without water. And it's that big block should have been done. The stacks are glowing. And, you know, I mean, that's what I love about derbying, you know.
Oh, well, that same big block, because it runs so freaking good, because at that derby, the harder it got, the better it ran. And I've had a couple motors in the past, but sooner or later, they just quit.
Yep.
But that big block, I brought it home, and I put that, I don't know, rubbed together epoxy stuff, because what it was, a whole corner of the bottom of the head busted clear off all the way to the water jacket. So I got home that next run, I pulled it out of that car, and I'm trying to think now, too many dang derbies. So I epoxied the whole shot and took it to a derby, a one heat derby in January, and won that, and then ended up putting it in a Crown Vic that next season, the first Crown Vic I ever built, and I mean, it almost won 10 grand that Crown Vic did with that big block Mopar on it.
10 grand. That's come great. On.
It's like four in a row headers, the chrome headers. And I had so many guys come and ask me, you know, what kind of Chevy motor that was in that Crown Vic.
Mopar.
And they run. I'll still swear by them up and down. I mean, the bald one is very nice. And then I've already put one run on it, but.
Did you see the picture that Chris Lancaster posted earlier this week?
No.
Of the Freight Spark Plug Wire?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
His Mammoth Block Cadillac ran pretty good on seven cylinders.
Yeah. No, you get a good big block, man. I mean, there's so many guys that had big blocks they loved, and you get a good one, and they'll go forever.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
When I bought that Town & Country wagon off Jesse, So what are you going to do for a motor? I said, I'm going to swap. Run that 440. That's a good motor.
Definitely.
All right. So the only thing I do is put a two-barrel carburetor on it. And that thing, exactly. Oh, man, did it run.
Big block with a two-barrel. Absolutely.
It ran. Oh, it was awesome.
That's what I run.
Yeah, awesome. Bando had one in Adoba here because he come for Salt Lake County Fair last year.
Yep.
For the 80s show Friday night, and he advanced to the Saturday night. But that everybody was talking about that motor on Friday night, and we ended up going in and watching Saturday, and that thing was just a screaming. I mean, it sounded just as good as anybody's high dollar motor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bando's got some nice stuff. Right, Josh Decker?
Yeah, oh, his stuff is nice, man. I mean, he's got his stuff figured out. And again, another guy that's just core, big block, Mopar. It's love Bando.
Yep, good dude.
You know.
Yep. It's been going crazy here. I mean, the Cadillacs are, like, coming around to be, I mean, they're the car right now. They're going for stupid money.
What stupid money do you?
$1,500 for a Cadillac.
That's.
And back in the day, we used to just pass up them because the trunk went straight to the dirt as soon as it got hit. But
10 years ago, 15 years ago, Cadillacs were everywhere around here, and I used to snag them up so cheap because no one ran them.
Yep.
And nowadays, same thing, man. $1,800 we're paying for Cadillacs, and it's just.
Well, it's just like Chrysler pointy bumpers. How many of them did you throw in the scrap?
Oh yeah, you don't run them.
Well, I sold one 3 weeks ago, $600.
Oh my God. Why would you say that out loud? Now other guys are going to be asking crazy. That's ridiculous.
Now, if anybody wants to buy any more for that price, lift me up. I'm happy to part with.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, $600. I'd sell them all day.
Get the fuck. Get out of here.
Ben is here, but we got one for Josh.
You know, I mean, I seen Imp subs the other day at the banquet. There was three Imp subs for $600 each. And it's like, man, when Imp subs are $600, I'm giving up. I'm quitting. I mean. $600 for a pointy?
Oh, yeah. When I first started, I remember, like, the first 4 years, we wouldn't even allow a car. If it didn't have a motor in it, I mean, it had to run and drive. We never thought about putting motors in cars back then.
Sure,
I mean, you didn't have to. They were everywhere. But nowadays, you kind of hope it doesn't have a motor in it so you can just drop your stuff in quicker, but... It's definitely, everything's changing so quick. But
let me ask you this, because I'm part of the Utah, like where you guys trade and stuff in Utah, and the amount of cars, beautiful iron being sold on there is like awesome. It's got to be pretty easy to find cars out there. I mean, you literally can still drive down the road and find Mopars and stuff, or is it getting a little bit tougher?
Oh, no, it's getting a lot harder. The guys that are getting them now, well, I mean, you get guys, the guys that hoard them. And then, I mean, look at me. I've got quite a few, and I know McPhee's got quite a few. They're just everybody that they pretty much, for the longest time, everybody, like, picked a brand of car, and, like, that's what they gathered up.
Exactly.
But now, like, the guys that are getting the iron now, they're either buying them from derby drivers or getting lucky, and finally the guy will say yes, you know, the guy that you stopped at 15 times.
Yep.
Always said he picks it up. You know them?
Oh, yeah.
See, I think the art of going and finding cars, because for me, I travel every day. I still find cars. And that's when you get the deals. The guys that are constantly buying from other derby guys, you're not getting a good deal. I mean, the days of getting cheap cars from another derby guy, you're overpaying every time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Even your buddies aren't hooking you up, because it's so hard to replace them.
I was getting quite a few cars, like the Brian Horton down in California, a good buddy of mine. He was sending them up. He was bringing them two at a time, as many, you know, he'd bring them up whenever I wanted. And he cut me a pretty good deal most of the time on them. So as what I could buy them from a derby driver. But I don't know why I buy so many of them, because I'm not going to wreck what I got, but.
That's all right. We know some guys in New York would like to buy some, right, Josh?
It's an addiction. You know, you just keep buying them. You just keep snagging them.
Back there.
And that's the thing, is I was going to say, is the couple times where they showed you guys, like, outstanding, where some of your stash of cars was, I was just like, I don't even know what to do. If I walked out and I had that volume of cars.
Smile every day.
And just be like, all right, I guess I'll wreck this one this week. And I just, that's just amazing. And we talked to
Jesse last week.
Kunkel, I have 60 in my backfield, and I was just like.
Okay, when I have 15, I walk out front and I smile huge. Imagine 60.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Oh,
I think
my God.
It complicates it a lot more, because if you have one car, you know what you're going to drive. There's no question about it. You know, you get a line of cars, and you're like, then you have to think about that, too.
I'd like to take
that there. What am I going to take that one?
Come on, Laz.
I'd like to have that problem for a while.
Damn right. It's like, do I want a 4-door? Do I want a post? Do I want a 2-door? Come on. Well, that's,
yeah,
I wish. I wish.
Yeah, it's so complicated, so you got
to. Laz, in your collection right now.
That's a problem, but.
In your collection right now, do you have any Town & Country wagons sitting around?
Don't answer that.
No, we pretty much cleaned them up on King's Crash. Because I gave one to my Indian buddy,
yep.
Jeremy, that
yep.
Builds and stuff with me.
They cleaned all those up with cash for clunkers. They crushed them all.
The first two cars of the season, so. And then he ended up kicking my butt in that wagon and twirled. So.
I was hoping to come down to you three and you could really put on a show. That I think that would have been a hell of an ending.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yep, but instead I had to make a stupid hit in the corner. But the kid that ended up putting me up on the wall right there, I mean, that me and him are the ones that started Sandbagger Racing.
That's cool.
After some alcohol in the hot tub one night, we were trying to think of a name on that.
It's a good name.
Just haven't left yet, but...
Hey, you know what? There's one clip that made me laugh from that show the most. Then I know we're light on time. But there's a clip in there where you're standing outside and a car comes rolling in. I think it's a fresh 74.5 Imperial. And your wife says, like, I thought you had to pay the mortgage or something. You're like, nah, I just bought. And I'll tell you, it's even if it was staged for the show, it was badass because I can't tell you how many Derby guys have been through that time in their life. I shouldn't say this out loud. There's been times I should have paid bills. There's don't do that. There's definitely times where I should have paid bills, and instead I went and brought a fresh Chrysler, and that's not right. I'm not saying that's right.
But it happens.
But it happens. And when I seen him do that, I said right to my old lady. She was standing over me, and I said, "Look, even Lazenby does it." You can ask her. I'm like, look, last movie even does it on, you know. That was a good clip, though. I thought that was funny.
They actually, it was staged, but it wasn't. Like, the car that they ended up shooting on the thing is my 2-door driver that I had at the point. But where we were going to shoot it was Brian's 2-car trailer, because it was that day that Brian Horton bought a load of cars. He actually had one for me on the front and one for TJ on the back, but I had it was full of Monty bumpers and had like 20 sets of shock tubes in it.
Nice.
So that's where they were going to shoot it, but the way the glare was from the sun, they had to move it back to the back out there.
Totally relatable.
But it wasn't. And trust me, I've done it.
So, Jared, my wife, I told my wife you're going to be on the show, and she used to watch Kings of Crash Racers. She wants to know if you ever got that honey-do list caught up that they had on the show the one day.
Of course not.
Oh, no, and I started threatening Heather last year, telling her I was going to take a picture of the picture wall.
Yeah.
It made me mark out, because she's like real perfectionist. She made me get the laser transit out and shoot the lines and everything on it, and then there still ain't one dang picture on that wall. Not funny. Me. I mean, it's maybe funny. A little bit, but it's her too.
That's
I mean,
funny.
She helps.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for being on, man. We really appreciate it, because we wanted to have you on since we've had this show, so it's very cool that you're on, and we got to get with you. Hopefully, we'll see you at Bash for Cash, and maybe you can jump on with us when we get there.
Yeah, we need to set you guys up to get out here for Kings of Destruction. You guys need to come out and do a Utah show.
Yes.
We would love that.
Agree with you.
That's on the bucket list.
Bucket list, I'm going to slap you.
Yeah, we got to do that, Lazenby. We got to.
I'm not even 35. I don't have a bucket list.
No, I do. I got to get to Utah. Got to get to Utah.
I'm not even worried about bucket list. We will get to Utah at some point. Jared, I got your phone number. We'll be in touch. We'll figure out a way to make that work.
That was good, man.
All right, thanks,
Jared. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yep. Talk to you.
There goes Jared Lazenby, Mopar enthusiast, star from Kings of Crash. We got to take a quick look at some of this other stuff first, but we'll be right back and we'll open some fan mail.
And you thought last year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the Turn Back the Clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Early inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com.
Bo Lockwood Motorsports is primed for a huge 2015 season. Having expanded to include four massive shows, Bo Lockwood and his team look to change the face of demolition derby in western Pennsylvania. Their schedule opens May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. It will include one of the richest stock shows around, paying $5,000 to win and $400 to start. The card includes full payback lawnmowers and separate $500 to win truck and compact one and done.
You want to know something?
No.
That's not the Reckless Warrior, Ed.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, what am I doing?
Are you good enough to be recognized as a Reckless Warrior? Bo Lockwood Motorsports' 2015 Demolition Derby schedule will now be combined into the Reckless Warrior Tour, designed to give rewards and recognition to drivers that support Bo Lockwood Motorsports. The schedule starts at the 5,000 to win Superstock Championships May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. The tour then goes to the Keystone Nationals, which has moved to the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds June 27th. The Jefferson County Fair Championships follows, with the limited world cars back in the limelight as they chase a $3,000 payday in Brookville, with the Reckoning 2 following on August 1st at the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. The series finishes with the final encounter September 4th and 5th at the Stoneboro County Fair. In all, there is more than $75,000 in prize money available among the six shows and features some of the largest purses in the Keystone State. Drivers will earn points based on their feature appearances and heat and feature finishes, with bonuses awarded for passing inspection and getting a stick on the first try. The season will end with a points bank where Bo Lockwood Motorsports will crown the deadliest warrior. That driver will then have his selection of one of the 10 prizes from the Reckless Warrior Department. For more details on the 2015 Reckless Warriors Tour, visit their Facebook page and check out blmotorsports.net. Travel back to the good old days of Demolition Derby at the 2015 Kings of Old School, presented by Goodies Graphics and GN Auto Corp. The Kings of Old School will be held June 6th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. The Old School class is drawing drivers from across the United States, with new drivers signing up and past champions coming out of retirement to take part in the show, with rules written the way the Northeast Derby community wants them to be. The headline Old School class will pay $22.50 to win and will be run in a heats and feature format. The 80s newer kit class filled in less than 6 hours once registration opened. The winners in the division will enjoy a share of a $3,000 purse. The card also includes compact and junk run division. Inspection opens at 8 a.m. Derby action begins at 2. Call Brett Relier at 607-327-2705 or Josh Decker at 607-725-2194 for details. With rule questions, call Mark Benjamin at 607-215-2149. That's the Kings of Old School, June 6th, Broome County Fairgrounds, Whitney Point, New York.
Eddie Bello giving a quick thumbs up there at the end. Everybody loves Eddie Bello.
Can I make two quick announcements on that? Following that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we got two more things to hit, and then we got John Peck. Go ahead.
Just real quick, at the banquet, Aaron Bunce, from the raffle card money that he got, donated 1,000 more to Kings of Old School purse, which is already $2,250. We're at $1,000, which actually more than $2,250 just for first. Aaron Bunce added $1,000 to that, which was huge. So purse just went up for Kings of Old School. And also shirts. Kings of Old School got some shirts left. Chris and I are going to get together. We got about 17 left event shirts. It's kind of a limited amount. So if you want some Kings Old School event shirts, get with me or Christopher ASAP.
We'll get that squared away. We talked about that last week. We also want to mention that the person who took that home, that car from the raffle, is eligible for a $500 bonus if they drive that car and win Kings of Old School. How about that?
Which his name is?
Rick Clark.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
He's done a little bit of winning in his day.
I've already heard some grumblings because people are like, damn, you know, Rick. Okay, so Rick gets a bonus. Think how great he's going to drive when he gets a bonus.
He's going to drive just fine. A couple more trips that we've got coming up. Albert Lee, Minnesota. It makes the second 4,000 to win 80s chain class, 3,000 to win Imperial class. More than $26,000 in prize money going to be given away in one day. Check out the Facebook group, Paul Nielsen, Matt Ertman promoting that show. And then we've also got a gentleman we're going to be talking with here momentarily with the Owenton Spring Nationals. We're looking forward to this one a ton. We're going to be sharing some news on this one. April 10th and 11th, Owenton, Kentucky, 1,200 to win. That's the Windshield Class. April 11th is the modified show. That's 7,000 to win, $12,500 purse. Top Dog Promotions, 859-393-8693. That's the Owenton Spring Nationals with John Peck, who is joining us on the line. John, welcome to the show.
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Doing awesome.
We're glad that we were able to make everything work and get together tonight. We've got some packages that we wanted to wait until we had you on the show. First, let's give it to Josh. Josh has the package that came directly from John Peck. So let's open that up and see what that is. John, you got a heck of a show coming up on that Friday with your lineup for the windshield class.
Dude, I can't wait.
Yes, we're pretty fortunate to fill that class in the way we did and have a few guests coming in to make an appearance, which we were happy to make deals with on some local drivers and some local builders getting some cars done. So I think everybody's going to be pleased. I think it's a great show.
It's going to be awesome, actually.
Pete Hansen and Ryan Songalewski, among others. There's some names on there that we haven't heard of in quite some time. There it is. Owenton Springs. Look at this long sleeve shirt there, Josh.
Nice.
That was awesome.
Great shirt.
Looks very pretty good, cool. Right?
Yeah. Very sweet shirt.
There it is. It's the whole of the list right there.
Dude,
with all
awesome.
The sponsors and everything labeled at the bottom. John, man, thanks a lot
for that. John, thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I need these.
No problem, guys. I appreciate everything you're all doing to help us out in Kentucky. I know when we first talked that you were needing some publicity in Kentucky and we were needing some in other parts of the country, and I think we worked out pretty well.
Josh, are you happy with it?
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I'm excited to go down there. I mean, just that weekend, a lot of great drivers are down there. I get a chance to go against Pete, which is just always exciting for me. So it'll be a good time for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show.
Yep. It's going to be a great time because I've already crash-talked several locals into wanting to jump some out-of-town guys, so that'll be interesting.
That's the first time that's happened, huh, Josh Secker?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I look forward to it. Thank you, John. So I'll have the locals and Pete trying to junk me. Thank you.
No problem.
Neck brace.
Look at the rundown on this is the stock class list. You know, this is just the stock cars. We've gone over what the weld class is going to be, $12,500 purse there. And the bone stock windshield class derby, Cole Hamm is going to be there, Charlie Bird, Nathan Coffey, which is going to be one to watch for sure, Keith Galloway, Matt Holweger, Tim Hildebrand, Scott Risch. That's a name that I've heard about out that direction. Pete Hansen, Ryan Songalewski, you know that they're going to be fun to watch. Jeremy Hildebrand, Ryan Gardner, Nathan Miller, Brandon Pendleton, Darren Culver, Josh Decker. I don't know why they've got that name in there. Justin Goodman, Travis Koch, and Matthew Paul. There's the last two spots go to the winner, Mad Dog, from the Grant County, Kentucky show on the 28th of March, which is coming up just about a month from now.
The thing about a windshield class, it is almost insanely amount luck. We can all say Pete's a great driver and is going to smoke me, but the problem is, it's got junk axles with a junk drive shaft with a junk tranny and a junk motor, and it really makes the things. It's going to be kind of fun because if Pete junks me, it's of course
not the first time. Won't be the last, probably.
No, it's the 40th, but maybe one time I can pull one out.
You can just get that one lucky shot and break a rear tire off.
Oh, let's hope.
And then you get out of your car and dance right there in front of God and everybody.
I'll hug him, but you know it.
Now on the off chance, some locals pin him in. They've already got some built-in defense because he can't dive through a windshield.
No, that's true. That's true. I wouldn't have seen that clip today. That's awesome.
Brian is anxiously awaiting. This is the package that came from Travis Brinson and Bash for Cash Derby gear. Smash and crash.
What is it?
That's his size shirt. They had to put it in a separate envelope.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
Dude, you set that up and we didn't even know it. That's awesome.
Wow.
Brian, that was funny because I was just looking through yours in here and it's like, these aren't going to fit him. That's awesome.
Well,
Brian was laughing with you. Brian was a little disappointed at some of the stuff that he got when we were out at the banquet. It was
not
the wrong
true.
Size.
Not true. Not true at all. I'm never disappointed.
That put tears
what I
in my
said
eyes.
Was that I think when you divvied it up, you may have misappropriated some sizes. So I brought it to you and said, "Hey, I am never upset with anything I get. Let the record show that."
So we went through. We made sure that the right size was here.
That was awesome.
Worked out well. John, I mean, what's the response been so far? It seems like there's a lot of conversation going on about that show.
It is. It's really, really gained momentum. I think right now, this final push we're going to make here, it'll make it even better. I know. Last year the show was a great show with I think the field was 27, so it's more than doubled I probably could have sold 100 spots, but nice. I felt comfortable with 60 in the amount of time that we had and the show that I wanted to put on. And the vendors that have came on board and you guys and just everything's made it a total success so far. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It looks like, John, that just everyone's paying attention to what you're doing. I mean, you guys have had some great announcements coming out there. A lot of people are talking about it. I mean, whatever you guys are doing right now is really working because you guys are everywhere and everyone's listening.
I mean, that's what I just want to echo Josh's sentiments. I mean, you're definitely making some waves in the Derby world as far as promoting. And I mean, you have got some great ideas and you're really taking care of drivers. It's awesome when a promoter steps up like that, man. You should really feel good about what you're doing. You're definitely doing things the right way.
Well, when I drove, I haven't drove in a couple years, of course, after putting 20 or 30 derbies on, now going to 40 this year, that kind of halts all of that. But, you know, no promoter ever took care of us. You know, we didn't get crap. You know, we run our brains out, and you guys know the whole deal. And
absolutely.
I thought, you know, I'm going to kind of set my sights on that and take care of everybody and be as fair as possible. I mean, no promoter catches everything, but if you just be as fair as possible, then you get repeat customers, and that's what it's about. I've had some of the best in the business from all over the country come in, and they've got their ass kicked by some of the locals that run here local, which made me feel good about out-of-towners coming into Kentucky. They always come back, and they'll beat them. You know, the big names always come back for revenge, and, you know, they get their win, but they come in, and everybody's surprised, and they like the competition and everything, so I'm looking forward to several new drivers coming into this show as well.
We've got some buzz going on around the December show as well already.
Yeah. Well, that's putting a 40 derby schedule together is kind of kicking my ass already. And plus doing the two big shows that I'm doing this spring, one a mini car show, which is sold out with 50 cars, and this one sold out with 60. Then I joined forces with the National Demolition Derby Association and decided we'd go on to leak out an indoor show that you and I had spoke about, and I think it pretty much sold out in about 4 days, and we had to revamp it car-wise because we were, I mean, basically we were bigger than the venue that we had.
Now, that's the one that's at Sandy Creek?
Yeah. Big Sandy.
We got it down to where it's a little more comfortable now, and it's amazing to sell out something in December 5th in a state that I've never even been in. So I feel pretty fortunate. And the list of drivers is amazing.
Did you get fairly good response from the Northeast and East Coast guys? I mean, I know there's a lot of drivers in Virginia and Pennsylvania that I talked about that were interested in doing that. And I don't even, in talking with them, I don't even know if they got the opportunity to register for the show. That's how fast it sold out.
By the time any of that hit, which was, you know, a 2 or 3 day span, on the fourth day, I was having to post that it was sold out because I had more entries coming in than I had spots.
Wow. That's insane.
Well, the week after that he posted that, we talked about getting Ben in there. Like, Ben's bring back derby would be down there because he loved it. So it was like, yes, we got a hold of John. He's like, full. It's like, he just posted it. Yeah. You know, and he's like, full. And it's like, how about the next derby? Full. It's like, okay. You know? Yeah. That's awesome, though. That is not a bad thing.
No,
when,
not
you
at
know,
all.
Now the next thing is, how do you figure getting more cars each time? You know?
Raise the entry fee.
Or, John, are you happy with it? Or do you like having just saying 50 and that's it, and 60 and that's it?
Well, that's a question I've gotten a lot here lately, and car count's been a big issue, especially across the state of Kentucky. I feel like that I've had the best car counts through the fair season, which is, you know, the worst time. But my spring shows and fall shows have been picking up more and more. But I looked at it as I left it open last year to Owenton to, I think, 100, and we had 27. You know, and I felt I sold myself short, so I said, I'm going to put a limit on it of 50. And I did, and went back and moved it to 60 and applied that money to the purse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. The way I looked at it was, you can turn to anyone and say, I have 60 cars coming that are prepaid, paid for, they're the show.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. But if you tell somebody, I've got a lot of cars coming, then people look at it like, well, what's a lot of cars?
Absolutely right.
Well, I feel better at having a sold-out show than a show that's open.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Now, John, once your season kicks off, I mean, you must have weeks where you do, like, what, 4 or 5 derbies in a week? I mean, to get 40 derbies in and from March until November, I mean, that's pretty tight derby-wise. It's got to be – you got to have some really crazy weeks.
I've got 18, possibly 19 shows in the month of July.
Wow.
Ouch.
That is insane.
How many are double bookings? How many are double bookings?
I've double booked a few, which I've done in past years. It's nothing, you know, it's counties away. I run complete different classes. So, you know, the car count's really not affected, and the attendance-wise is during the fair season anyways. So it's not bad. So, you know, you can pull things like that off.
Still hard.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah, like, think about that in New York.
We talked with Russ and Tim, and they talked about how there's been several times where they were double booked, and they run 37, 40 shows in Ohio.
That's amazing.
I think they run, like we figured it out, and they have, like, three-quarters of the counties in Ohio or something.
They have better than 70% of the shows
in
Ohio.
That's awesome.
That's just what I was thinking was when he said, you know, having that many shows, that the first thing that came up to me was Smash It. I mean, these are two of the guys that have got a lot of shows between them.
But
awesome.
Again, for drivers listening, and especially like in our area, if you're in an area that you don't have this kind of stuff, it's your promoters. Because look at this. Now you're in an area that obviously John's a great promoter, because how could he keep picking up derbies? The drivers are getting him in. How do you get into a next one? Drivers, or you have somebody that knows. So guys are saying, yeah, bring John, bring John, bring John. Same thing with Tim and Russ.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get 46 shows being a great promoter? And now you look in New York, if they got three, they're good.
It's the same thing.
I've been doing this for 10 years, and the past 2 years I finally went to a fair convention to lobby for some shows. But before that, it was word of mouth only.
Yeah.
And basically that was drivers and one fair board or, you know, Lions Club or whatever to the next saying, hey, this guy's pretty good. And this year I think at the convention that I went to, I turned down 10 or 12 shows just because dates wouldn't line up, or it was just, you know, just too close. And some people looked at my calendar, one of the fair boards, and said, well, you've got that date open. And I told them, I said, it's open. I said, but I've got two shows that are around it, and there are counties that adjoin you. I was like, you know, I said, if I did that show, I was like, I said, most promoters would just go on and book it, and you would pay me my money, and I would put on a shitty show. I said, but I can be, nice about it and say, you know, it wouldn't work out. You know, I could take your money. I said, but I'm being true to you and saying that, you know, now's not the best time to do it.
John, it's such a great
outlook. He's pretty thankful for that, and it helps my season, and plus doesn't put on bad shows, which nobody wants.
But, you know, you think of guys that have come and gone, and I think a lot of times what happens, John, is people start getting more and more to that side of, yeah, let me just book it and take the money. Yeah, let me just take the money here. And it's a downward spiral. 3, 4, 5 years later, all of a sudden, they're in it for the money. Yeah. You know, they lost their heart. So it's awesome to see that you're keeping your heart in that. In it. And I think the drivers are thankful of that.
Drivers
also
responded to it.
Yeah. That, well, obviously.
I mean, it's the
they're
same.
Filling his classes up in a day.
It's interesting, you know, that John and Top Dog have the support like they have in Kentucky. You know, the same conversations that we've had about John as the conversations we've had in the Midwest, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota Loop, North Dakota with Ultimate Derby and Sam Williams, and the same conversations about Bo Lockwood in Pennsylvania. You know, the drivers rallying around and saying, look, this is what we want to build to. This is what we want. And
again,
and the drivers are responding.
If you're not getting that in your area, something's got to change, because your area could have that. Because look, there's all around the country, there's areas like this. I mean, John's guys, I bet if you were to go and ask John's drivers where they're going to John's shows.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like, well, I don't have to go all the way to Indiana, or I don't have to go all the way to Maine, because I like driving around here because my promoter's good to me. And that's half the battle.
Yeah.
Half the battle is going to a derby feeling like you were taken care of. You know how it is, Brian.
Oh, absolutely.
Half the ones you go to, you leave there, and you're like, I just got...
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, it's great that, you know, promoters are doing more for the drivers. Because so many times they forget that it's the drivers that are putting the asses in the seats.
No doubt.
I mean, and it's just great when guys like John and Bo and, you know, the guys from Smash It, Tim and Russ, and it's great when they do things like that to give back to the drivers the way they do.
The good thing about our show, I think, too, is it's also now letting us get it out to more people that this is out there. It's
absolutely.
How would people know in New York about John Peck? I mean, you know, you wouldn't. Back in the day, 5 years ago, you would have never... You just wouldn't have heard about it. And now it's like we can almost share it with people that, hey, listen, there's great promoters in these areas.
Yep.
If you're not getting it,
and
go there.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's having the show in West Virginia, and unfortunately it's full this year. But, I mean, there's been like 5, 6 guys from New York that have towed to that arena in Derby before.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who's to say that can't happen next year?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, it's a 10-hour haul for us. Ben's been there, I think, 4 times and loved it. Loved running inside the whole 9 yards. I mean, who's to say that we don't get a nice contingent of New Yorkers down there next year, you know?
Absolutely.
To support a great promoter. But, you know, It is. It's definitely one of the things that, you know, I really am happy with about our show is that we can get the good guys' names out there.
Exactly right.
That's what I like to
do. And the not good ones, just no one hears.
Exactly. Right, Chris Marco? Oh,
yes.
Virginia side of it, maybe it's since I doubled up the post on Keith, maybe next time around I'll do a Northeast versus Central's type show, you know, do 10 and 10, you know.
Yep.
10 of your guys from up there come down on 10 of our guys.
That'd be cool.
That's awesome.
That's Josh awesome. Will build me a car, right?
No. You want one of my build cars?
I mean, no, you're right, I don't.
Say. That's dumb.
Jeremy Gully's ears just picked up. He goes, yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
That's cool. Well, I mean, I'm glad everything is coming together the way that it is, and the response has been great, and I hope the momentum keeps going. We're looking forward to it. I mean, the season, the early part of the season, our first leg of the 2015 journey is going to be busy. We're going to Kentucky, then we come back to Pennsylvania on May 9th, then we go to Ohio for Bash for Cash, which that's just going to be outstanding. We get to hang out with the Sciopas again. We get to see Tim and Russ again.
Last.
We'll catch up with
in between that, we have to go to Crossroads.
Yeah. Crossroads.
Then we're going to Bash.
That's right, yeah. Crossroads is
in there, buddy
too.
Sam out Crossroads?
Oh, yeah. The next couple months is going to be awesome.
I think Kenny Rosman was going to come and watch Crossroads, too.
Nice.
So he wanted to know where we were staying for hotels, and I said I wasn't sure yet. But
Stoker sent me some pictures of his suicide half belt.
Looking good.
There's going to be some stuff there.
The secret suicide that nobody's supposed to hear about?
Yes.
Okay.
I just said it out loud. Sure. No, but Bash for Cash, I can't wait for
moving on.
Bash for Cash is going to be awesome. We got a couple great months ahead of us.
And then there's another one in June.
Da-da-da. Yates County?
No.
No. No, what? No.
Brian?
No.
Did we just have to say we don't talk about the bad ones?
Keystone Nationals.
Oh.
No, Keystone Nationals. Oh, yeah.
Nice work, Josh.
No, Kings Old School is going to be awesome. I mean, it's just going to be a great spring. It seems like maybe it's just lately, but it seems like the spring and fall, Demolition Derby is picking up in those times.
Well, that's the only open spot you can have a big show.
Yes, and that's the only I agree open with dates. That. Well, you can't have them in the summer. In the summer, everyone's just flooded with county fairs, but you're almost hoping that county fairs, some of them shitty county fairs are getting less cars and more are going to the big shows is the goal. John, most of the shows that you do are county fairs, or is that what most of them are?
Yeah, for the most part, through latter part of June and July, they're all county, but I have probably four or five in the spring and four or five in the fall. They're pretty decent, but I'm pretty fortunate because I'm kind of behind on my payouts versus, everybody else, and I still get a good car count and great drivers and, good vendors and so on. So, I've stepped the money up a little bit and look to do so again next year. So, yeah, the money thing is definitely becoming a factor, but I've been pretty fortunate because I'm always behind the ball just a little bit, but seem still to get, just as good a car count as everybody else. So sometimes you look at it as, is it worth spending another $5,000-$6,000 to get 10 more cars? Or just go with the 40 or 50 that you have for the purse that you've promised. So
we just had that talk, Brett and I, doing our derby. We just had that talk. There is a point where you almost have to know your area, because if your area is paying $2,000 and you throw a $7,000 to win derby, it's happened up here, because there was a guy that threw a $5,000 in like four cars, maybe a seven. Nobody showed up for it, and it's because, I don't know if it's fear or whatever, but you almost have to kind of slowly raise your area's purses,
yeah,
like Bo did down in his area.
Incremental.
Yeah.
Build them up to it.
You can't go $1,000 payout to $7,000, because then people are like, what's going on here? Something ain't right. You almost have to. So kind of being behind the eight ball is probably a positive thing, honestly, John,
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I've seen it happen across the river over in Indiana, over at a local speedway over there. They've had a couple of $10,000 shows that, the guys from Ohio come down and rape those guys. And, the car count's been under 20 cars. I mean, once I think it was like 10 or 11 cars for 10 grand.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just thinking, wow, at a speedway, it's got a great crowd, right across from a casino, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it is a great venue, but they just put a bad taste in
people's
mouths.
That screws with me.
Did the casinos have lines on the derby?
It screws with me because we fight for $1,000, $1,500 up here, and to hear that there's 10 grand on the line and 10 guys, I'll go take a stock car at a modified show for a 10-to-1 odds, because there might be the dumb chance. Think about the odds on that. Yeah. 10 grand, 10 cars, I'll sit in the corner. I'll bag the shit out of that. Wouldn't you?
And two.
I've been on in a while. I don't know. It's just crazy to think that more money is not a negative sometimes.
it's crazy too that, you know, like that's probably 30 or 45 minutes from where I live. And, you know, a lot of the drivers that run for me, they wouldn't even cross the river to go run for that guy. You know, there's a big problem there, and I'm not kidding you. I've got 15 or 20 local drivers here that'll hand your ass to you in a heartbeat. So, so you know, and they wouldn't even go over there. So, you know, I think people really like to, you know, run for somebody that that's going to give them a fair shake. You would rather run for somebody for $1,500 to give you a fair shake than run for $5,000 and get a chance of getting screwed.
You're 100% right, because we've all been there where it's against you and you know you're not going to win that derby. We've all been there, and I agree with you 100%. Just give me a fair shot.
That's one thing I've said, like, from the last year is, you know, I think drivers look first for, okay, it's going to be a fair playing field. You know, I don't mind getting beat as long as it's fair.
That's it.
But I don't want this guy with this and this. You know, I can't have that. I think they look for fairness over money.
Yes.
More, you know,
I'll agree with that, Brian.
We've seen a ton of instances where throwing a bunch of money at it did not fix the problem.
Well, again, a lot of times it's the small stuff. How are you treated through inspection line? How are you treated after the derby? How are you treated? You know, you put all that together, and sometimes money doesn't outweigh that. You know, you can't treat me like shit. you can hand me a lot of money, but, you know, I mean, I like how John's chasing it down. I really do.
There's only one winner, too. So, I mean, if you treated everybody like shit and the winner's the only one that was happy, next year you're not going to do a very good show.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and when there's if somebody's walking away with 10 grand, there's only going to be one happy person anyway at the end of the day. So you want to make those unhappy people as happy as possible.
Yep.
But not really. I mean, like you say, if you were to walk away from that day and say, like, hey, well, you know what? That guy had more time. He drove great. He beat me fair and square. I don't walk away upset. You know,
yeah, you do. A week later, you'll feel better, but when you nobody's happy when they lose.
I mean, nobody's not lose, I know, lose. But, you know, I mean, there's times around here I get pissed. I want to, like...
You've lost $700 features.
Yes.
And
I lost my mind.
In fair fights and came unglued.
I'm a loser.
Don't say that. Chris wants to build you up.
You're the best.
Josh finished seventh in a 10-car feature, paying $400 to win, and he was just
angry.
Angry at every one of them.
That's not true.
And it was eight.
I don't know about that.
But, so,
hey, John, one last question. You let Imperials down there anywhere, or like Imperials obsolete down there?
We allow them in our Pro Mod class, which is basically as close to a 5-foot class that, like you all seen that ran Sturgis a couple years ago. I have that class. It's dwindling out. You know, I have it a couple times in the spring, once or twice during fair season, and maybe in the fall once. But
that class, is an Imperial even able to compete? I mean, they're running against, I'm assuming, built Vics.
Well, after you build a Vic so hard, they get around so much faster. There's less breakage, and they can get out of the way of the Imperial before it gets there.
Absolutely.
No doubt the Imperial's heavier, stronger, so on and so forth. But if it doesn't get around, the more weight you have on your tires, of course, they're going to be breaking those off because a Vic's basically a damn bumblebee once you put the weight to it and it gets around. So.
Absolutely right. Well, it's interesting because, like, everywhere you go, they always stick the Imperial in the modified classes, but stick the Imperials in the stock classes. I mean, that's kind of more where they would shine, but I guess maybe – that's not what people want.
Maybe you don't want them to shine.
I want them to. Stick me in a stock 67, stock 10 bumper. I'll run.
That's something I want to do probably maybe next year through the NDDA. I know some of the indoor shows we want to do, and we're working on a couple more indoor shows right now, so we have a little more to leak out. We want to do, you know, that's how I want to do, you know, these indoor shows. I'll have, you know, a 20 or 30 car heat of new models, 20 or 30 car heat of old iron.
Yeah.
Kind of mix it up like that to give a variety for all the drivers plus the fans. They want to see those old cars at some times and things like that. So
they definitely
do. Like a class I want to be bringing in.
Okay, when you're making the rules, stock cars, Imperials allowed. And then just let
and
me.
And then watch nobody show up.
Not even true.
I don't think they're going to draw.
That's insane to say.
In your world.
You're scared of a 10 bumper.
No, I'm not saying that I'm scared, but I'm saying that the general population, we've seen this time and time again where you open the door for those guys to come and run, and I don't think that
if you were to put a 20 car limit, I think you'd fill right up. Imagine 20 stock Imperials. Stock 10 bumper, it'll be badass heat. I'm telling you, it'd be an awesome heat. Just something to think about, John.
I know a guy I'd like to take
both park guys around.
Yeah. That's true.
It would be an Impala and Deuce and, you know, a Rivy.
okay, let me take a 67 tin bumper, square nose to nose with some Caprices and Impalas, right, Brian?
Absolutely.
Oh, dang.
All day long.
Set that up, John.
All day long.
Set that up, John.
Because once that square bumper got flat
oh,
against
man.
That, we'd be good.
I'd be junking stuff out there.
I was going to say, I know a guy that'd like to take an Imperial back to Sandy Creek, or
yep.
Big Sandy.
That would be itching for it.
Absolutely.
Itching for it.
It'd give him a year to build it. It'd be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For a stock show.
Well, yeah, it's got to be, you know, make sure it's properly... You know,
properly waxed?
Waxed and welded and chained right. And
for Pete's sake.
Come on, Chris, get on it.
John, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this has spiraled so far out of control.
Decker said that Anton's been handing him his ass, was Decker in an Imperial when Pete was feeding it to him?
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
Real quick story. Yes. The first time I ever met Pete, I took an Imperial to a non-Imperial show and got it through inspection. I took a 67. They never knew what an Imperial was. Pete shows up in a shocker, okay? Pete junked my 67 in, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It was fresh. Pete was weird. Junking me. Oh, my God.
How weird was that?
Oh, my God. Pete's junked my Imperials 5-6 times easily. I wasn't even. Yeah. You don't know, Pete, you know? Oh, man. And Pete would just laugh at me and smile, you know? Yeah, Pete's beat me a lot. But someday, John, and it's going to be probably in May or April, whenever
April
we're coming down there.
It's going
to
be April
10th. That's going to be the day for me.
And then you can
mark
retire.
It down. I'll retire if I beat Pete.
Pete's upends will come. Is that what you're saying?
You know, it's
if
my
you,
luck.
If you can make it through all the locals, you know, maybe you'll still have something left for Pete.
I'm going right after Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'll make one shot. And that's
sounds
it.
Like the locals might be on you first, buddy.
That's the story of my life.
You're going to have to get to Pete first.
Park us next to each other, John, because you're probably right. You're probably right on that. You know, actually, so, John, what are you saying? Let me read between the lines. What you're saying is Pete, Ryan, and I are supposed to be all the locals, or how are you trying to set that up? Let it out of the bag now. Let it out of the bag now. Am I going to get junked in the first 30 seconds?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think you kind of got invited. So anytime there's an invitation and something's too good to be true, sometimes it is too good to be true. So
absolutely.
Maybe a set up deal. I don't know. I mean, it ought to be interesting, to say the least.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Josh. I was going to show you that.
You're putting me in a Fiesta and everyone else is in 225 Buicks? Is that what you're doing to me, John?
Just paint his cars yellow, right? Freaking hot.
Wow.
No, flat black.
Please. I believe you should. I was going to forward you the text message that John sent me, and I forgot to. It said, "Make sure Josh remembers his neck roll."
Yeah, it's windshield class. I mean, how hard could they hit me in a windshield class? I'll be all right out there.
You might want to put one on the front and in the back. You know, kind of double up.
Double up, Josh.
I'll be all right. I'm on a flat foot, John. That's all. Flat foot.
What's the worst thing that can happen, right?
Nah, don't say that.
Well, the first thing, one of the worst things that happened is his seat breaks off. He's got to hold himself up.
You ever seen that video of that 60-year-old guy that his seat breaks?
Yeah.
And he's getting lost. It's a J&M show. It's a shit show. And he's flying all over the car.
Yeah.
Poor old dude.
Old dude derby or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a great video.
There's a million views on that thing.
Watch it on YouTube. That is awesome. That will not be me. That will not be me. John, make sure my bolts are tight on my seat. Don't let me find loose bolts when I get in there.
How about you find a seatbelt? Because I remember one show where you got in a wet.
I don't care about seatbelts.
Dude, I forgot to put my seatbelt back in.
Josh is going to ratchet his trap himself to the seat.
You don't need seatbelts.
Friends over here care about a seatbelt.
Man, I hope I made it to this show. I got to work on some stuff at work.
John, is there a video? Is there a video of that track? Could I watch
it's
that?
Big.
Okay, that was my next question. Big track. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good track. You can just get on any YouTube. There's a bunch of hits on there on some Arlington, Kentucky shows that I've done. That the fall show I did there last year, I think I had, I don't know, 25 or 30 cars in there at one time. It was one full track shot after the other.
I just got a note
played
from
a bunch of locals that were just going off on each other, so that was kind of scary.
We do have to get out of here in a second. We just got a note from Chris Polly. He said, the track's really big, but there's one spot off in the corner where they dug a 6-foot hole. Well, you'll probably end up there.
Yeah. Christopher, I think I bought you a beer at one point. Be on my side.
He said, don't worry, they'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
second. It'll be a chorus of boos for Josh Decker.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't
know
if I want to be associated with you when you go out there, man. That might not be a good
Josh,
thing.
It's better to be hated than ignored, my friend.
No. No, I've had both, and I'd rather be ignored, trust me.
When was the last time, Josh, when was the last time you were on a track?
And someone said something nice to me.
Well, no, well, that's been a while, too. But when was the last time you were on the track where you were the villain and Pete Hansen was the hero?
That's ridiculous if you said that out. I mean, think about that. Pete gets booed. Down there, he gets cheered. I'll get booed.
You're a villain. You're a villain.
I'm the bad guy.
And thankfully that...
Say hello to the bad guy.
Okay, Razor Ramon. Calm down.
It's Scarface, not Razor. Razor Ramon's a wrestler.
You're oozing machismo there, Mr. WWF.
Chris, that's your other show.
I don't have that show.
Anymore.
I don't. There was never a wrestling show.
Come on.
There was not a wrestling show.
No,
I don't
thank God you can't have a wrestling show.
What? I lost you. What?
Did you have a wrestling show once?
On here?
Somewhere.
No.
You sure?
Did
you
Yeah, I'm pretty confident I remember most of my body of work.
Because somebody talked to me about a wrestling show once, and it had to have been you.
Well, yeah, whatever. It was talked about because I wanted you to come and do it.
Whatever.
It would have been outstanding.
Anything you do is outstanding.
We would have called it Tompkins Pit.
We could have talked to, like, the big boss man. Instead like of Lazenby, we had, like, Jake the Snake Roberts. Let's have this.
Who's still alive to do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
The Bella Twins.
Yeah.
And right to it. I knew it wouldn't take long before we were right to the naked girls.
They're not naked.
It's just a beeline right to it.
They're not naked.
Just a beeline.
Getting older.
So are you.
Brian's getting older.
I'm 32, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a young
so
buck.
Am I.
I'm still young.
And then some.
You're 52.
But if,
I can't
but
wait
to take
your
wait
trophy.
Hang on,
your
hang
show.
On. Let's visit this for a second. Mm. Now, Josh, if you beat Pete, you said you're going to retire just like Pete Hansen.
If I beat him in style, not just place-wise.
Stop a second. If you beat Pete, you're going to retire. So that'll be one more thing that you can say you have in common with Brian Tompkins.
I say I retire and don't.
Retired derby driver. And then don't.
I ran two shows last year. How can I be retired?
I said and don't.
Yeah, that's
well, true. I'm in your corner on this.
Man.
Why are you so confused? I'm pro Brian right here.
Brian should just run compacts, really. You know,
that is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard.
Well, besides getting in a bubble, what I was saying was
wait a
just...
minute. Let's set the record straight. The one show that Josh Decker and I were at together last year, I had the crowd standing on their feet and cheering. Josh Decker, how about you?
Josh Decker, how about you? Josh drew some
Josh
drew some pretty big cheers, but that was when you went nose to nose and junked your car. I don't know why.
Okay, well, that's
you.
What we're there for. I drive harder than you. Let's go nose to nose. Let's go head to head.
All right.
I'll smoke you.
How far do I have to go to knock you out of your seat? That's all I want
well,
to know.
Well, June 6th.
Right in your front yard. Come over to my house. I'll give you a car. Chris will tape it.
I'll drag my candy down from last
we
year.
We can pay-per-view it, Chris. Right in my front yard. Just me junking Brian.
You can't even get a cell phone signal in your driveway.
No, you can't. No, you can't. That's true.
Poor John. Poor John's listening to this thinking, what have I gotten myself into?
That sounds like a local garage ribbing around here. So.
We can't be local up here because Josh is 2 hours from our house, so it's too far to drive the pick on him. We got to do it here once a week.
That's true.
Yep.
That's why he doesn't come a lot.
No. I'm emotional.
You are emotional.
Yeah, I've gotten real sensitive over the years.
Do you need help?
I've gotten real sensitive. So I've been told. Constantly.
Chris, what time are...
Who are you looking at? Yeah,
we got to go.
Yeah, Lake
I'm
Lake
so
Lake
hungry.
Coming up.
So am I.
Yep. John.
Dinner's on me.
John, awesome. It was great to see you again. Appreciate you coming on the show. And I'm sure we'll be talking again here before too long.
That sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy and y'all be safe.
Thanks, John. Have a good one.
Thanks, John. We'll see you soon.
See
ya. There goes
he
John
like
Peck.
Good shit.
Very good.
He really seems like
very good.
Shit.
He got colorful tonight. I was surprised. He's so soft-spoken and you know, undertone. And he was.
Well, it's like Chris. Chris is a big soft-spoken dude. I met him for the first time at Blizzard Bash.
Chris Pollock.
Yeah. And
he's
is just a good dude. I really like talking to Chris.
He's funnier than shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I messaged him through Facebook. And I said, so, just so you know, officially, just telling you now, I'm totally pissed at you. And he sends me his phone number. He goes, call me right now. So I call him up. And he goes, what are you pissed at me for? And I'm just cracking up laughing. I'm like, I'm mad you don't live closer. Because he spent some time in Pennsylvania before we went back home.
Yeah.
But he had me cracking
up. He's a good dude.
Yeah, because we mentioned I was going to run in that heat.
Yeah.
And as soon as I get off the air, I will, like, walk over to talk to him, and immediately starts ripping on me. He's like, "You're getting junked. You know you're getting junked." So, Chris, you know, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He's a good shit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Josh, don't get your hopes high.
Of winning?
Yeah.
No, I'm
of
Chris,
of,
please.
Of not getting, no, of like bringing hardware home, of not getting junked.
No,
of,
Chris, I know where I stand.
Yes.
Trust me.
Well, the promoter pretty much just told you.
So last place.
We are bringing you out here to see you get run the F over.
Hey. I'll tell you what. Unless
free derby car, I'd do it.
Absolutely.
Let it eat.
They ain't going to scare me. I'll tell you that right now. No matter how bad, unless they knock me clean out, I'm going to shake all their hands. You can't hit me hard enough to not make me.
No, I agree.
Rumor is you got a good car. I mean, if it had frame rails, it'd be nasty.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's like they got it out of New York. Just fucking rust bucket.
It's a 1985 Impala, and they cut the frame rails off at the hump.
I bet that's what I got. It's like, we got you an 82 Monte Carlo. It's like, oh. You know? That's what I'm going to be running.
And everybody out there is running 225.
Yeah, he's going to have a Buick Electra tracking me.
You got a great car, but this gift course, I wouldn't be looking in the mouth.
It's going to be a good time.
You know what's funny, though? Real quick, then I'll let us go.
Pay no attention to the blown head gasket.
Pete, I know, right? He's smoking, isn't it? Pete said to me he would never hop in someone else's cars. Think how many times he always ragged on me. Why would you jump in someone's cars? Well, he's going to jump in someone's cars.
Isn't he building all of them? I thought he was building. We got to talk after the show because there's some confusion here.
Oh,
we got to talk.
I'm just showing them.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's apparent. Oh, you're talking about Nolenton. I thought you were talking about now.
No. No, I'm talking about Nolenton. No, Chris, please.
Yes.
Hey, let me just say, the best joke you ever did on this crash course was what? Handing him that to open up. That was the funniest shit ever. Wrap it up. We miss Ben.
We do.
Watching his, back.
Watching his niece play basketball tonight.
Hey, sectional basketball. I'm not gonna fault him for that. You go a long way to watch that game.
It's regional because they won the sectional Saturday.
Yeah.
They're on their way to working their way towards states.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yep. So for Brian Tompkins, Josh Decker, and our guest here, Lazenby, and our buddy
Peck.
John Peck, and everybody that was listening at home, we had about 30 people tuning in at home according to the counter, which means absolutely nothing because the numbers never right. We appreciate everybody joining us here on the Crash Course once again. It has been a ton of fun, as always. Looking forward to doing it again right here next week. I think we've got am I right that we've got TJ McPhee lined up? That's
I believe so.
It sounded like that's what's on deck.
We've been pounding Utah.
Yes,
absolutely.
We've been trying to talk.
We're working our way out to
that's
Utah.
Awesome,
that would be awesome.
Well, you know, a lot of guys want to hear what's going on out there, so it's due time for us to get them on.
100% true. But that's going to do it for us. We will see you back here next week.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash at Demolition Derby, Bull Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc.